Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. "I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, open your word to us today. Give us understanding. And Lord, armed with that understanding, help us to follow Jesus. Help us to trust him. Help us to believe him. Help us to depend upon him. And for that, Lord, I thank you. Furthermore, I pray for my listeners. Every hurt, every disease, every struggle they might have, some have lost their jobs, would have you due to this downturn we're having. Lord, help us to trust in you. And Lord, help my listeners in all things that they suffer. And for that, Lord, I thank you as well. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, amen. As Jesus is speaking these words, he is mere hours from being betrayed, taken, and crucified. He has spent 3.5 years with his disciples. And you would think that spending that amount of time, day in, day out, with the Master, that the disciples would have pretty much understood the things that he was trying to say. And you would think that 3.5 years of him teaching, he would have gotten across pretty much everything that he wanted to teach. But he says, at basically the end of this 3-chapter message on the Holy Spirit, he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." And again, 3.5 years worth of teaching, he's still got apparently much more to say. But he says, you cannot bear them now. For some reason, they were not ready to understand. They were not ready to receive what God had to say. But he says in verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Again, Christ, for 3.5 years, he is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But the Spirit is coming, Christ said. And the Spirit would guide his disciples, and by extension us, here today, into all truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." It says in verse 14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Verse 15, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Now in these few verses, we see the Trinity. We see God the Father. We see the Son. And then we see the Holy Spirit. We know that God is one, and we see in these few verses that God's purpose is unified. We have the Father who sent his Son to die on the cross for us. And as we said, just in a couple of hours, as Jesus is speaking this, he's going to be taken. Christ is the one that died for the sins of the world. It's Christ that satisfies God's wrath against sin, Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But then we have the Holy Spirit, and at this point, the Spirit of God obviously rested on the disciples. If you look at Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10, we find that Jesus did place the Spirit upon them, anointed them to preach the gospel. And I've preached extensively that we cannot do God's work without God's help. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God is able to do miraculous things. You read in the Gospels, Jesus healed the sick, raised Lazarus from the dead, opened blinded eyes, comforted those that had a horrible life, such as the prostitutes that he ministered to, and he changed them. If you look in the Old Testament, you can find there was a prophet. He walked so closely with God that his bones still had the power to raise someone from the dead. You look at the Red Sea, God opened the Red Sea with his breath. God can do anything. God has done most everything. And there's nothing too hard for God, nothing too difficult for him. If we trust in him, God will help us. Help us to do what? Well, our commission. We have a great co-mission. Our charge is to win the lost. And to that end, God gives his Spirit. I'd like to turn briefly to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, the disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now we see again the Trinity, the Father. The Father is the one that promised the outpouring of the Spirit. We see Christ talking, and he's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Power from God by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses unto me, to be martyrs, the word says in Greek, to be martyrs of Christ. And then there's a progression. Jerusalem, that city, and then all Judea, and then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm thinking of Papua New Guinea right now, which is just north of Australia. In about 1990, there was a 79-member tribe, the Liyawep tribe, that was discovered. These were Stone Age people. They didn't have any clothes. They didn't understand what clothes were. They were living day to day, farming, killing animals, whatever, and sacrificing to pagan gods. They were discovered, if I'm not mistaken, they were discovered by the Christian and Missionary Alliance missionaries. God says to go to all the world to preach the gospel. Missions work is his highest calling. You can say, well, I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle, whatever. The greatest thing you can do for God is to either go on the mission field or support missions work, to pray for them, to donate money to them, what have you. For truly, the greatest missionary ever was Jesus, when he left heaven to come down here to rescue sinners. But he says, going back to chapter 16 of John, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. The Spirit of God reveals the things of God to us. Now, I'd like to say that there is no new revelation. There is no new doctrine. God did a new thing, and that new thing was Calvary. There's nothing new. There's no new, I'm going to say it again and again and again. There's no new revelation. The canon of Scripture is closed. We know how the end will occur. We can read the book of Revelation. We can read Daniel, perhaps Ezekiel, perhaps Zechariah. We can look perhaps in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. We know how the end will occur. We know the great work that Jesus did on the cross to redeem mankind. We know the plan of God. There is no new revelation. But this verse says that Christ has yet many things to say to us, but we cannot bear them now, he says. He was speaking to his disciples at that time. The obvious question is, well, okay, if there's no new revelation, but Christ still has speaking to do by the Holy Spirit, then what is God going to say by the Spirit? We find the answer right here in these next couple of verses. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. We said that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit will guide you into all of Christ, to understand Christ, to know Christ, to have his word come alive in our heart, to know what to do in any given situation. God will give us wisdom and what have you. For he shall not speak of himself, it says. The Holy Spirit, obviously, we read about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God inspired the Word of God. So obviously the Spirit makes an occasional mention of himself. But he doesn't go around lifting himself up. The Spirit's job is to show you Christ, to reveal Christ. Look at verse 8. We touched on this last time. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit's job is to touch the heart of man, sinner and saved alike, and to reveal Christ. It's the Spirit that draws the sinner to Christ. It's the Spirit that gives understanding as we read the Word of God to the Christian. It's the Spirit that moves on earth today. The Father never left heaven. The Son, Jesus, did leave, spent 33.5 years on the earth, but went back. But the Spirit was sent in Christ's stead. He's the another comforter it speaks about. He comes down here to comfort us. He comes down here to dwell with us. He comes down here to reveal truth. He comes down here to show us Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. The Spirit's not going to glorify himself. The Spirit is not going to glorify some preacher on the television. The Spirit of God is going to glorify Christ. He's not going to draw attention to himself. He's not going to draw attention to some man with some new doctrine or something. He's going to draw attention to Christ. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now again, this talks about the Trinity and the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. All things that the Father hath are mine. He's the Son. He receives from the Father. Therefore I said that he, the Spirit, shall take of mine and show it unto you. So the Christian, by the help of the Spirit, by the revelation of the Spirit, sees Christ in a greater way. Again, the disciples, 3.5 years they spent with Christ. They had time to learn about him, had time to learn what he looked like, obviously, had time to learn what he sounded like, had time to learn how he ate. If you look in Luke chapter 24, you see the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes, they didn't understand who he was. They didn't see. But when they got to town, and they said, come and eat with us, and he did. And he's the one that blessed the food. But he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave. And I preached on that before on this station. They knew by looking at the pattern of taking, blessing, breaking, and giving, they recognized Christ. But he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. So obviously there's a relationship with Christ that's greater than spending 3.5 years with him. He has more to show. He had more to show Peter. He had more to show John. He had more to show Andrew. But there was a limit to how much they could understand Christ just by living with him for 3.5 years. And that sounds strange. If you know somebody, you work with them every day for 3.5 years, you get to know who they are. But Christ, by the Spirit, reveals himself in the heart in a greater way than he could ever possibly do so by being with his disciples physically for all that time. And again, that's a strange thing. But again, we're talking about the Lord from heaven, the Lord from glory. We're talking about God, infinite, omnipotent, what have you. There were some things they understood, obviously, but there were many things, as we'll see in these next couple of verses, that they just did not understand. Verse 16, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. Then said some of the disciples amongst themselves, what is this that he hath said unto us? And they begin to question, what did he just say? We heard what he said, we hear the words, we don't understand. What does he mean? He was talking about the crucifixion. He was talking about the passion. He was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension that would soon take place. But they didn't understand it. He had spoken several times. It's recorded in the Gospels. It's shown to us in the Old Testament again and again and again. In type, in prophecy, in symbolism. The passion. The great work that Christ would do on the cross and then being risen from the dead was shown again and again and again to the disciples. But they just didn't get it. They just did not understand. Perhaps we could say many things, but they could not bear them now, he says. They just could not understand. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will show you all things. He'll receive from the Father and give it to you. We see this in particular in the life of Peter. And next time, the Lord helping me, I'm going to focus on him and how he was changed when the Spirit of God began to dwell in his heart. But he says in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He's talking about the passion event. He's talking about the death of Christ on the cross. That the disciples would weep and lament, and we know this to be true as we read the Gospels. But the world shall rejoice. Christ is the light of the world, and his own received him not, he said in John chapter 1. The devil and sinful man did everything they could to snuff out that light. And obviously the Pharisees, the religious crowd, was happy to put him to death. Those that loved him would weep and lament. Those that crucified him would rejoice. And it says, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And that talking about the resurrection. And again, as we read the Gospels, we see that to be true. That once they understood he's risen, then they were certainly full of joy. And that carries over into the book of Acts. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is come forth into the world. Obviously, again, talking about what I just mentioned. They sorrowed because Christ was crucified. But they forgot all about that when they realized that he had come from the dead. Verse 22, and now, therefore, ye have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And again, you look at the disciples. In the book of Acts, you see them willingly laying down their lives for the Lord. We have joy that the world doesn't know anything about. We have peace that the world doesn't know anything about. And again, it's by the agent of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. And in verse 23, he shows us something new, something different. He shows us how to pray. And again, this references the fact that there was a sin debt that had to be paid. But Christ came to pay the ransom. In verse 23, he says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, but it doesn't mention praying in the name of Jesus. But he's saying now that we're to do that. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself hath loved you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. So Christ is saying that we should pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And he's saying, furthermore, that he is not going to take your prayers as a priest and bring them to God. Now he is the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. But we do not need him to act as a priest, because he did that one time. He shed his blood, and his sacrifice was sufficient to wash away all of our sin. But today we can go directly to God. We don't have to go to a priest. I want to say that again. If you're Catholic and you're listening to me, you don't have to go to the priest. You can go to God directly for yourself. I'd like to read something in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that's a double negative. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, etc. So he's not saying that we don't have something. He's saying that we do have something. He's saying that we have a high priest. Jesus understands all the things that we suffer with, all the things that we struggle with. If you read Isaiah chapter 53, it makes it quite clear that Jesus suffered. And he knows the things that we suffer. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ is sinless, spotless. He never committed one sin in all of his entire life. In verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can get mad at me if you wish." But Jesus says, as we just read, we can pray the Father in His name. You don't need a priest here on earth. You don't have to go to confession. You can confess your sins to God, and God will hear you, and God will forgive you. Trust in Him today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.